Father, we thank you for this third Lord's Day now that we are not gathered together. But we thank you that we're able to gather online and we're able to actually come together and hear at the same time. But Father, we do continue to pray for the regathering of our assembly, of the churches, Lord, of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray, Father, for all of the dear people that come every Lord's Day here and that hear the Word of God and that go out in the world and have a desire to live the truth that they have heard. Father, we pray for those that come and are not believers. We pray for their souls. Father, we pray that your Spirit would have free course into their hearts and lives. And Father, we pray that as a result of this great pandemic that's going on in the world, that many souls will come to a saving knowledge of Christ. It is our desire. Father, it is saddening not to gather together, but Father, we rejoice nonetheless, and you command us in Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, and the key we know, Lord, is to rejoice in thee. Father, we know you've got your designs in this. All things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to your purposes, Lord. And so we ask for your blessings and we pray for your help this day and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Ecclesiastes chapter 3. We'll read verse 1 and then we'll go down and read verse 6. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1. Scripture says, for everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Verse 6, and last week, a time to get and a time to lose. Today, a time to keep and a time to cast away. They seem somewhat related. Nonetheless, we just looked at the last two, a time to get and a time to lose last week. This time, a time to keep and a time to cast away. The first eight verses of Ecclesiastes teach us that we live in a world that is ever changing. It's changing by the hour. We know that really more than any other time in the past couple of weeks and months. But from the time that we were conceived in our mother's wombs and from the time we came forth in birth, brethren, we entered into the realm of time. And at the hour of our death, we will depart from time into a never-ending eternity. What you believe today about Jesus Christ will determine where you spend eternity. John chapter 3 and verse 36, John the Baptist said this, he that believeth on the Son has everlasting life, and he that believes not the Son of God shall not see life, that is eternal life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. Very dangerous position to be in. John 8:24, Jesus said this, if you believe not that I am he, if you don't believe that I am the promised Messiah, if you don't believe that I am the Savior of the world, and then these very sobering words are spoken by our Lord. He says, you shall die in your sins. You shall die in your sins. This morning, brethren, a time to keep and a time to cast away. Today, like every day, is a time to prepare for eternity, as we just heard. What you are keeping and casting away is very important. What are you keeping and what are you casting away? If you're lost every day, it is a time to cast away your sins. And from that time, we are to embrace and keep the sayings of Christ, believe on Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2 says, behold, now is the day of salvation. I've always been amazed how the apostle Paul, he didn't say, behold, this day is the day of salvation. He says, behold, now is the day of salvation. That is an all-important time. That is the most important time for every man, woman, boy, and girl in this world, a time to believe Christ. But back to our text, Solomon says, a time to keep. What does it mean to keep? Well, it means to guard or to retain. It can also mean to protect something. Sometimes, as you know, we get things and we keep things that we ought to lose and things that we ought to throw away. But instead, we keep them to our own hurt. We'll see that in a moment in Ecclesiastes 5. In contrast, to cast away means to get rid of something or to throw it away. And there are many things in our lives that we're attached to, things that you're attached to, things you don't want to throw away. But then the time comes, sometimes providentially, when you're forced to throw them away. I think of those mariners on the ship with Jonah, when Jonah went down into the ship and God raised up a great storm, and the ship was like to be broken, the scriptures say in Jonah chapter 1 and verse 5. And the Bible says there in that text that they cast their freight, the wares, into the sea just so that they would survive. You see, their things that they were keeping, their freight, their cargo, they were keeping it, and it was profitable to them. But at the time of the storm, their lives became more profitable, and that stuff became worthless, and so they cast it over the side until they finally cast off Jonah, and the storm was ceased. In Acts chapter 27, the scriptures teach when Paul was on that ship that went into that great storm, that they had to actually undergird the ship so that it wouldn't break in half, and they cast the tackling of the ship into the sea. The tackling, as I understand it, was those tools and those ropes and those parts of the ship that helped them navigate and actually sail. Later on, the scripture says they cast their freight into the sea, their wheat, all the wheat they cast into the sea. No doubt it had great value to them as they were making their voyage to sell it and make money. So they were keeping it, but they had to cast it away because they were at peril of their lives. And you remember those stories. But listen, every one of us, we buy and get things that are of value to us, things that we intend to keep. We'll see something and we'll say, man, I really want that thing. Might be a car, might be a boat, might be something. But then as time passes, many of those things are no longer valuable to us. So we stuff them away, or we misplace them, or we lose them, or they get all scratched up and they're of no value to us anymore. And so what do we end up doing? We end up throwing them away. I remember there's many things that I've gotten, and I thought back and thought, you know, when I bought that, it was a great value to me. I was going to keep it, but it's no longer valuable. My dad, as I can remember, before he died, his whole life, he kept everything. After he died, I found out how much that he kept of little bitty things that seemed immaterial. But my dad was a man who hoarded, not a big hoarder, but he kept everything. I was at the house and he kept a little bag, a little paper bag with some little seeds in it. I mean, he kept every single thing. Now, in contrast, I like to throw things away. Now, you could ask my wife next time you see her, whenever we've moved from one house to another, my wife would say, what happened to this or that? And I would say, well, I gave it away, or I threw it away. And her eyes would get real big and she'd say, you threw that away? I actually gave the piano away. And so my wife remembers that. So I like throwing things away. I don't like to keep things. But there are some things that I do like to keep. But Christian, listen, there is a big difference in your getting and gaining, and there ought to be, and in your keeping now, what you keep, than when you were lost and when you were not a believer. Your life should not be marked by hoarding or keeping earthly treasures. You should not be laying up treasures upon the earth, but in heaven. In fact, after our Lord saved you, it should have begun a time of casting off or throwing certain things away. Things that would draw you away from Christ or divert your attention from the kingdom of God. Now, I'm not talking about keepsakes and profitable, valuable things that you'll pass on to your children and to your families and the things that are not keeping you out of the kingdom of Christ. I'm talking about the things of this world that are keeping us from Christ, or pushing us away from Christ, things that are sinful and worldly, and things that don't tend to godliness. Those are the things that we need to be casting off and casting away. I ask myself, and I ask you to ask yourselves today, what am I keeping and embracing in this life that is causing me to turn away from Christ? Am I keeping something that is sinful, that is worldly, that attaches me to this world and that turns my attention away from Christ? Something that I love in this world that I shouldn't love in this world. Something that I am putting above my love for Christ. I pray that I'm not doing anything like that. What is it in the world and in this life that you would love instead of Christ? Or that you would keep and not cast away so that you might have Christ? What is it that you would love more than Christ? What is it that you are keeping to your own hurt, Christian? Take inventory of your life. Yours and my Christian life should be characterized by growing in grace and being more and more conformed to the image of Christ. Psalm 84 and verse 7, I think it's verse 7 or verse 11 perhaps, I think it's verse 7, the scriptures teach that we go from strength to strength. And brethren, we go from strength to strength by keeping the sayings and the commandments of God. Also, the scripture says, but the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The righteous, Job says, shall hold on their way and will get stronger and stronger. But still, as I think, there are many, even among Christians, who are getters and keepers and hoarders of things that are of no value to their souls. I have to examine my own heart. What am I keeping, Lord, that is keeping me from Christ? And so many, for many, their lives are consumed with getting and keeping more of this world's riches and stuff. But this is not to be the life of the child of God, brethren. Luke 12:15 says a man's life does not consist, a man or a woman's life does not consist in the abundance of things which they possess. That's not what life is. So getting and keeping stuff in this world is not the Christian's life. And we need to understand that, brethren. We need to not keep things to the hurt of our own souls. I don't know if you've ever heard of Malcolm Forbes. Malcolm Forbes was the publisher, I say was, because he died in 1990. He was the publisher of Forbes magazine. He coined this phrase, "He who dies with the most toys wins." He who dies with the most toys wins. Now, it was reported that his net worth was between $400 million and $1 billion. That's quite a bit. But Mr. Forbes' earthly wisdom was greatly flawed. We must take heed to ourselves, because if we're not careful, there's a little bit of that thought in us wanting to get the most toys, wanting to get stuff and earthly riches. Listen, 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. See, that's the key. See, one person can have something and not love it and not have it to be something that turns them from Christ. Someone else can have that same object and it will turn their hearts from Christ. And so it's all about not really what you have in the world, but if you love what you have in the world. We all have to have things in the world, and there are things that we keep. But are those things the things that you love? Do they consume you in your mind and in your thoughts? So John says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, and by loving the world, John means loving the world's system, loving the world's philosophies, loving the world's stuff. And you just want more and more of it. So if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's cut and dry. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father. And that, listen, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life, that all of your eyes don't act alone. They act from the heart. And so it matters brethren, what you have in your heart. It's important to keep your heart, Christian, with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You will live as your heart is. And so that's so very important. And so the scripture goes on to say, John says, and the world passes away. The world's passing away, and the lust thereof. That's passing away too. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. James chapter 4 and verse 4, I'll let you get there. I know I'm going too fast, but James chapter 4 and verse 4, James says this about the world. James chapter 4 and verse 4. He says there, he says, know ye not, don't you know this, that friendship or fondness of the world is enmity with God. It's in opposition to God. You can't love God and love the world. You can't serve two masters, or you'll love one and hate the other, or hate one and love the other, or despise the other. So very important. So he says, friendship with the world is enmity with God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend or fond of the world is the enemy of God. Now, Mr. Forbes was one of those few men of whom it could be said he gained the whole world. I mean, he had whatever he wanted. It was at his disposal. I mean, come on, $1 billion. But what did all of what he had amassed and kept? Remember, what was his saying? He who dies with the most toys wins. I mean, is that really right? No, it's not. And so what did all of what he had amassed and kept in this life do for his soul? Now, one thing's for sure, he did possess many toys and stuff and money and riches when he died. No doubt about that. But let's look at a man similar. Look at Mark chapter 10 and verse 17. If you turn there, this rich man that we'll see actually had an encounter with Jesus Christ, with the Lord Jesus Christ. I love this passage, Mark chapter 10 and verse 17. It says there, and when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? What shall I do? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and thy mother. And he answered and said unto him, master, all these have I observed from my youth. I've been keeping these since I was a young boy. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. He said, you lack one thing. See, this man loved his riches. And so Jesus told him, go thy way, sell whatsoever you have, what you have, all of your possessions, all that stuff that you're keeping, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me. And he was sad at that saying. Does not having the things that you have and parting with them make you sad? Or does parting with Christ grieve you and make you sad? That's what it should. Listen, if anything in this world that we're keeping is keeping us from Christ, we need to hate that thing, whatever it is. It says he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus, and I love this little passage, as Jesus, notice when we read, he repeats himself. Notice, Jesus looked round about and saith unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? That's an exclamation point there. And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again, and he saith unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? First he says those that have riches, then he says those that trust in riches. And he says, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. And so we see the wisdom of Christ to a rich man. He says, you need to disperse. Don't love those things and those possessions. That's what we see as the Lord Jesus asks us, what does it profit if a man shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Brethren, let the words of Christ be the wisdom by which you live your life in this world. Let the words of Christ be the wisdom by which you keep and cast away that which you would keep. Look at Proverbs chapter 11, a few more passages to give us some commands and wisdom from our Lord as we live our Christian lives. Listen, we need to base everything that we keep, everything that we cast away, on what the scriptures teach us. Proverbs 11 and verse 4, scriptures tell us here, riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death. Doesn't matter what you have. Doesn't matter how rich you are. Doesn't matter how much stuff you have. And so be so careful of keeping things that would keep you away from Christ, that would keep you out of the kingdom of Christ, sinner. There are many that's what keeps them from Christ, because they know that if I come to Christ and turn from my sins, then I can't keep this thing that I love. And so the fact is, they love their stuff more than they love Christ. It's loving your sins more than you love Christ. If you would keep something and not have Christ, then that thing that you would keep is sinful, and it's hurtful to your soul. Look also at 16 and verse 16 of the Proverbs. 16 and verse 16, scripture says here, how much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver. It's so much better. And then in the Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 16. Chapter 19 and verse 16 says, he that keeps the commandment keepeth his own soul, but he that despiseth his ways shall die. And then two more, Ecclesiastes and one from the New Testament. Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 10. Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 10. I love this. This passage hits the nail right on the head. Verse 10 says, he that loves silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase, that is, getting more stuff. This also is vanity, saith Solomon. When goods increase, they are increased that eat them. And what good is there to the owners thereof, saving the beholding of them with their eyes? What good is this stuff? As soon as you close your eyes in death, somebody else gets it, and it's still in this world, and it did nothing for your soul. And so what good is keeping all that stuff? And in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17, the Apostle Paul, writing to young Timothy, he says here, charge them that are rich in this world. And you know, I consider that to be us. charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches. That means possessions of uncertainty. There's no eternal value in them. So don't trust in uncertain riches, but trust in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. God's the one that gives us the true riches, the unsearchable riches of Christ. There are no riches that are above those riches. Those are what we need to get and keep. Notice, they that do good, verse 18, that they do good. Who's they? Those that are rich. That they be rich in good works, ready to distribute. That's what Christ told that rich man. Distribute your goods. Be generous with them. Willing to communicate. That means share. Share your stuff. Don't hoard it. Don't keep it. Laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. If you are maturing and growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the things of this world, the lust of getting and of gain and of keeping treasures and riches and titles and stuff should flee from your heart and from your mind. When you set your affection on things above, the things on this earth should lose their luster. They will lose their luster if you set your affections on heavenly treasure. If Christ is your first love, you're going to want more of Him, and you're going to want to keep more of Christ, and the things of this life and of this world will become immaterial. Thomas Brooks called gold, silver, and earthly riches, he called them the garbage and guts of the earth. It's going to be burned up. There's nothing that will endure the judgment of the great day in this life. It's all going to be burned up. What you wanted and desired 10 years ago in this life, and even before you were a Christian, before you were saved, before you were a Christian, should be very, very different from what you want and desire now. The more you love Christ, the more you love Christ, the more you should be detached from this world and from keeping things. See, there's a time to keep, but what do you keep? And there's a time to cast away. The more you love Christ, the more you should be detached from this present world. And so in every time of your life, there are things to get and to keep. And there are also times to lose and to cast away. And that is where I'd like to finish my time with you today. What are you keeping? And what are you casting away? Think about it in your own life. And again, there's nothing wrong with keeping certain things that don't turn our hearts away from Christ. There are times to cast certain things away. And what are you casting away that you should actually be keeping? What are you casting away that you should actually be keeping? Christian, it is a time to keep that which is heavenly and that which is unseen to the world and that which has eternal value. It's a time to keep the things that are worth keeping. And it is time to cast away the things that are not worth keeping, the things that are turning our hearts from Christ. It's a time to keep what God has given to you and is giving to you in the salvation of your soul by His grace. Where are you spiritually? Where are you? Where you are spiritually, rather. Let me back up a little bit. Where you are spiritually will be the great determiner of what you keep in this world and in what you cast away. Where you are, where your heart is. As a man thinks, or as a woman thinks, in our hearts, so are we. So what are our hearts drawn to keeping? Do we keep the sayings of our Lord? Do we keep things that are heavenly? Do we keep the things that tend to the welfare of our souls, or are we keeping things that are in this world, keeping the riches of this world, keeping the things that are worthless, the garbage and guts of the earth? What are you keeping? Listen, the last thing that any saint of God and lover of Christ should want is to keep something in this life that might cause you to turn away from Christ or cast him from your life. That's what we should never want. And remember, I made a reference to Ecclesiastes 5:13. Turn there. I want to read you this. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 13. Christian, it's a time to keep that which is heavenly and unseen to the world, and that which has eternal value. Brethren, it's time to keep those things that will benefit our souls and the eternal welfare of our souls. Ecclesiastes 5:13, look at it. Solomon said, "There is a sore evil which I have seen under the sun in this life, namely, riches kept for the owners thereof to their own hurt." You could substitute stuff in there, treasures, earthly treasures, kept to their own hurt. If you are keeping something that is keeping you from Christ, get rid of it. If you're lost, if you're keeping something that's keeping you from Christ, cast it off. Cut it out of your life. It's not worth it. What will you give in exchange for your soul? What will you keep in this life that will prevent you from coming to Christ? And so get rid of it. Throw it away immediately. Christian, take heed to these most important things that we are to be keeping. And I'll refer you to a few passages of Scripture. Go to Jude verse 24. There's only one chapter. But listen, these are things that are essential to be kept, Christian. We must keep these things. And yes, they are spiritual things. They are unseen things. They are things that help us to go from strength to strength. And so Jude 24, I read verse 24 to you because in Jude 21 and 24, there are two keepings. Look at Jude 24. "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." That's God. "Unto him that is able to keep you from falling." That's essential. If God didn't keep us from falling, we would most surely fall. But unto him that is able to keep us from falling. Verse 25, "To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen." Verse 21, "Yes, God keeps us, but you are commanded to keep yourselves." Notice, keep yourselves in the love of Christ. Keep yourselves immersed in the Scriptures. Keep yourself immersed in prayer unto your Father, prayer and intimacy. Keep that. That, especially in this time, should be most precious to every one of us. Brethren, this is the centerpiece of the Christian's life. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And so keep yourselves in the love of God. Look at Psalm 119 and verse 8. Psalm 119 and verse 8 and verse 9. Verse 8, the psalmist says, "I will." I love that deliberate will of the psalmist. "I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly." Verse 9, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" By those next two words, taking heed, means they mean keeping. "By taking heed thereto according to thy word." By keeping thy word. That's how I will cleanse my way. And so God's word is a very key part of what we actually keep in this world and what we cast off. It is essential. We start here in the word of God. We must know the revealed will of God for our Christian lives. Only then can we walk the Christian life by faith and not by sight. And faith is not just this blank thing that we just go out and do whatever we think is right by faith. No, we walk by faith in what the scriptures teach us. That is how we walk by faith in Christ. We obey the words of Christ throughout the scriptures. Verse 57, Psalm 119, verse 57. Here's what we must keep. And it is, God is our portion. Notice, thou art my portion. That's worth keeping. Thou art my portion, O Lord. You, Lord, is what I want to keep. I have said that I would keep thy words. And so is God your portion, brethren? I remind you of Psalm 73 and verse 25 and 26, where the scripture says, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth, or nothing upon earth, that I desire beside thee. Psalm 73 verse 25. There's none upon earth, or nothing upon earth, that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart fails, but God is the strength of my heart, and God is my portion forever. God is my portion. And then 1 John chapter 5, you don't have to turn there, just listen. It's a very little verse. It's the last verse in the first epistle of John. John says, little children, keep yourself from idols. And that's how we can tell if there's something in this life that we ought to be casting away. It might be something that we really want, something that we're so glad we have it, but you know what? We got it now, and it consumes us. There's a time to cast away. That's what we don't need to be keeping. And in John 14, to finish this thought, John 14 and verse 21, John 14 and verse 21. See, I'm not going to tell you exactly what to keep and what to cast away. There's a time to keep and there's a time to cast away. There's always a time to keep and there's always a time to be casting away. But you have to make up your own mind in accordance with the truth of God's word of what that needs to be in your life, of what you need to keep and what you need to cast away. John 14 and verse 21 says this. The Lord says, he that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. So not only those that have the commandments of God, but those that have them, they know them and they keep them in their hearts. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. That's the most conspicuous way to know if someone loves Christ. They keep the words of Christ. He says, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. We will dwell with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. And so we see it's very clear what we need to be keeping. And then it is a time to cast away. If you're lost, it's a time to cast away your sins and to believe on Christ. It's always that time for you. Every single day until you turn from your sins, it's a time for you to cast away. If you're a Christian, it's still a time for you to cast away your sins. We are to always be turning from our sins in this life. Look at Ezekiel chapter 18. Ezekiel 18 and verse 30. The book of Ezekiel, the prophet Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 30. The prophet speaking to the children of Israel who had sinned against God, not obeyed the commandments of the Lord. In verse 23, he says, have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die? God says, I have no pleasure in that, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live. God says, that's what I take pleasure in. Look at verse 30. He says, therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, saith the Lord God. Repent and turn yourselves from all of your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Cast away from you all of your transgressions, whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live ye. We must always be casting away our sins, or things that cause us to sin. Ezekiel 20 and verse 7. Turn the page there, chapter 20 and verse 7. He said to the children of Israel, cast ye away every man the abominations of his eyes. You remember what 1 John said, the lust of the eyes? See, idolatry and lust starts, well, of course it starts in the heart, but the eyes feed the heart, and we get turned aside from things that we should be turning our eyes from. He says, cast ye away every man the abominations of his eyes, and defile not yourselves with the idols of Egypt. Defile not yourself with the world, brethren. I am the Lord your God, but they rebelled against me and would not hearken unto me. They did not every man cast away the abominations of their eyes, neither did they forsake the idols of Egypt. And then I said, I will pour out my fury upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the midst of the land of Egypt. Very lamenting time. In 2 Chronicles, after Manasseh, who became a very bad king, after he repented and he came back and he obeyed the voice of the Lord, and the scripture says all of the idols that he built in the house of the Lord, he took them and he cast them out of the city because he knew those things were causing the people of Israel to sin. And brethren, whatever is causing us to sin in our lives, we need to cast it out of our lives. Matthew chapter 5, our last example, is a very violent example. It's also in Matthew 18. We'll look at that text briefly as well, but look at verse 27. This is in the Sermon on the Mount. And this is in regard, in verse 27, to adultery and lusting after a woman in your heart. And it could go both ways. A woman can lust toward a man can lust toward a woman. But notice, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, Jesus says, but I say unto you that whosoever looks on a woman to lust, see with the eyes, the lust of the eyes, whosoever looks on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. That's violent. He says, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. That's violent. But listen, he says, pluck it out and cut it off and cast it out of your life. And the Lord's talking about sin here, specifically to the lust of the eyes, the hands touching the forbidden and the feet going where they shouldn't go. Christ is not teaching us to actually pluck out our eyes, but we are to cut off all that is sinful to our eyes. We are to cut our eyes off from looking on that which would cause us to sin and not allow images into our minds that are sinful. Don't allow your eyes to look upon that which would cause your heart to lust and sin against God. Don't allow your hands to touch that which would incite your heart to sin. Don't allow your feet to go down the place where you know you will fall into sin. And so what Christ is teaching us here is to cast sin out of your life with violence. Cut it off and cast it from thee. Look at Matthew 18. We'll read that reference. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 7. He says there, "Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom that offense cometh." There's an exclamation point there behind verse 7. It's a very impactful statement from our Lord. Then he says, "Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt and maimed rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire." And so we see how dangerous it is for us to delve with sin or to keep those things that would put us in a place of being in danger of eternal damnation. And so the Lord talks about our eyes, what we see, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, the hands and the feet. And so be so careful. And so don't allow yourself to be tempted by those things. Now, in closing, in this life, there will be a time to keep, and there will be a time to cast away. You need to know those times. You need to know those times for your Christian life. Keep that which will draw you to Christ. Listen, you need to be spiritually perceptive enough to know what, and you need to be honest with yourself. As David said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart," because you know what? My eyes, my hands, and my feet. And I'm going to keep what's in my heart. And so search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, prove me, and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way out of my wicked ways, away from my sins, and lead me in the way everlasting. Lord, teach me, show me what I can keep that's not turning me from Christ, that's not something that I don't love more than Christ. And show me what I should be casting away. Show me that which is turning my attention. What am I setting my affections on? Because whatever that is, that's what I'll be keeping. I'll be keeping what I am setting my affections on. Don't set your affections on the things of this life. Don't keep things that will keep you from Christ. Cast them away. Throw them away. Cut them off and cast them from you. So keep that which will draw you to Christ and keep you with Christ, and cast away that which is sinful and wicked and that which drives you from the presence of Christ. If you're lost, I will implore you, I will compel you once again. Turn from your wicked ways. Cast away all of your transgressions. Turn from your sins to Christ. Don't keep things that are temporary, things that are worthless. They have no eternal value. Don't keep something that'll keep you from Christ. David, back in 1 Samuel chapter 20 and verse 3, he says, there is but a step between me and death. It was when he was running from Saul. There is but a step between me and death. Nothing could be more true for every one of us. In this time, we hear of a lot of death from the coronavirus, from the pandemic. We're protecting ourselves. We're washing our hands over and over again because none of us want to get this virus. We hear the stories of people that are dying. We don't want to die. But more than that, we should want to live in Christ. If you're lost, not only should you not want to die, you should want to have eternal life. You should want to be forgiven for your sins before God. You should want to have your sins paid for in full by Christ. And so you should want to believe, turn from your sins to Christ, and so that you would inherit and be given by his grace, by God's grace, eternal life. And so if you're lost, turn from your sins to Christ today. Tomorrow's repentance never comes. And so if you're sitting there thinking, well, I'll think about this and maybe tomorrow. I remember when Paul preached to Agrippa, Agrippa said, you almost persuaded me to become a Christian. To be almost persuaded is to be completely lost. And so turn from your sins to Christ. There is nothing more important for you today than to believe Christ if you're lost. Christian, there's nothing as important for you this day than to keep Christ, keep the truths of Christ. Keep your heart, Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all diligence. With all diligence means keep your heart above all keeping, for out of it are the issues of life. And I pray the Lord will bless this to your souls. Let's dismiss in prayer. Father, we ask that you would please be with the words that have been spoken. I pray, Heavenly Father, that they would be helpful, Father, and profitable to both saints and sinners. Father, I pray that you would strengthen your people, strengthen the saints, O God. Lord, we know that if we would be truly strong, we must be strong in the Lord. And as Psalm 84 teaches us, when we walk by faith in the truth of your word, and when we fix ourselves upon the Lord Jesus Christ, then we go from strength to strength. Increase our faith, O God. Help us. And now I pray that you'd bless the remaining part of this Lord's day to all of your people. Father, I pray that you would receive all the honor and the glory to all that has been said today. And we ask it in the highly exalted name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.